Over to Kathleen. Go for it, babes.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Good morning. The joy about a part two is that I get to apologize straight off the bat. So if you were here when I preached 2 weeks ago, you got a very passionate Kathleen. And thank you. However, the one downside about preaching is that you have to listen back to yourself. Oh, my own voice. Oh. But what I picked up is that I was screeching, which brings me back to Mom and Dad, if you are listening. My father very, very beautifully said to me a couple of years ago, "My love, I love it when you preach. I really do. But when you get excited, you start to screech. And that's not pleasant to listen to." I agree, Dad. It's really not pleasant to listen to. So apologies for the screeching. I think for me, it was probably the first time, if I'm honest, in my preaching that I was preaching on a subject that was really burning in me. Not that other subjects haven't, but sometimes you just hit a lane and you're like, woof, you feel it. And it was hard to control my physical manifestation of it. However, in the moment, I thought I was being so controlled and so calm, and that's not exactly how it came across. So apologies. Now for clarifications. Okay. Yeah, the apology was for the screeching. Now for clarifications. Let's talk about when I said, let's be careful about our language, because I listened to Tracy's amazing preach last week, actually, which totally goes into what I'm speaking about this morning. And kind of everyone's going, I don't know what to say at the moment. And I think really what I was trying to get across is that sometimes as charismatics, we come with, I feel that the Lord is saying, and we're very like sure about this, but actually it's something we've got to hold carefully. And a friend in the week had asked us to pray for him. They were going through something, and I had this impression from the Lord. And I just said, this is what I'm feeling. However, let us weigh it together. And it's amazing when you say that phrase, because the very next day, the thing that I thought my word was meaning, God very clearly showed both parties what was actually going on, that my word was correct, but actually the route that I wanted to go was not the route God was going. And so there's just a wisdom in weighing what we say and how we say it, okay? But we can say, I sense, I feel, I have an impression of, that's totally fine. I'm not banning words from the pulpit. I think the second clarification is rotten fruit and rotten roots. And my pendulum has been swinging like this over 18 months, because as I've watched what's gone on, and just this deep disappointment in men and people who I have trusted and listened to, and so there's a part of your human nature that just goes, that's it, you're done, you know? But on reflection, I must admit that some of the fruit that I had eaten from these men was good fruit. And as a preacher in the week pointed out, he said, you know, Satan rebelled in heaven, in the presence of the Lord. Yes, he was cast down very quickly afterwards, but things happen in the presence, okay? But it doesn't mean we just discount. So hear me, I'm a human, and as a preacher, or when we say things from the front, I present something to you, and I say, right, as a community, let's chew our way through this. Where are we going to land? Okay? And in the pendulum swinging, and in my great confidence that I had 2 weeks ago, and I confidently said to you, there will be a part two. Idiot. Like, don't do that kind of stuff. And in my more great confidence, I went and met with Farnes and Jeanette. It was meant to be a morning tea. I was nearly there till supper. And we were talking all things jurisprudence and scripture and debating things. And I was like, yep, this is where we're going. Turns out not where we're going. And of course, the week leading up to this has been one of those weeks. Actually, I think I've had one of those weeks since 2020. I don't know when the normal week is coming. You know, every week is like, geez, it's been one of those weeks. You know, next week will be better. Oh, geez, it has been one of those weeks. So I stand before you, weak, a little bit like, God, you do have this. Because actually what he's led me to talk about is, as I was diving into, as humans do, we love the fix-it solution. How are we going to fix this? How are we going to make it right? And the Lord's like, whoa, before we jump into how are we going to do things and how we apply the law and how are we going to do Matthew 18, before we dive there, I want you to meditate and teach on my holiness. Now, as a human and as a preacher, that's just a subject you don't really want to go into, because I don't feel like I've got the full revelation of it. If I'm honest, if I think about holiness, I think of, you're just so serene, you're just living out, and you're very calm, and we're holy, and we're pure. That was really my thinking. And you know, in 1 Peter 1, verse 16, I think it's 16, now it's gone out of my head. And I actually have a PowerPoint. I was so beside myself this week that it wasn't coming together. I thought, let me do a PowerPoint, because that'll make everything better. But actually, it's good. And in that verse, let's skip to the next slide for me. I don't have the clicker. For it is written in 1 Peter 1, verse 16, you shall be holy, set apart, for I am holy. And I think as a Christian, I've always struggled with that verse, because you're like, God is holy. Like, holy gives you the sense of, like, be careful. Like, he's holy. Holy, 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 the angels cry. I heard someone say, if I'm describing something to you like a birthday cake, oh my gosh, that birthday cake was like the most amazing, incredible, tastiest thing I've ever had. You're like, that's an incredible cake. Holy, holy, holy says to me, well, we're dealing with something big and huge and not for humans to touch. But actually, that's not how God works. When he says you are to be holy, for I am holy, it is the way we live. Amen. It is the way we do things. And so I wanted to jump into jurisprudence. Oh, thank you so much, Daniel. Where would we be? Is it on, Daniel? Oh, it is. Look at you. Oh, there we go. Okay. That's also dangerous. When I was talking to Farnes and Jeanette, I had been reading about this, you shall be holy, set apart, for I am holy. And what I love about the Passion Translation is the notes that he adds on different scriptures. And the note that he added to this, it goes too quickly, man. So, like, okay, here we go. In the note on that particular verse, he says, everything about God is holy, but true holiness includes justice, mercy, truth, and righteousness. Holiness is not merely actions we perform, but what we absorb and manifest as we live in God's presence, or live our lives in God's presence. So if we've got the lens now of holiness, holiness is not some untouchable part of God that is just not meant for humans. It's actually the way we're living. And so what goes hand in hand with holiness is purity. And I think being in the charismatic church kind of in the 90s, there was a big kind of purity movement, if you will. And unfortunately, I think a lot of the purity, if you will, has been linked to sexual purity. And we kind of get a bit hung up on that. But actually, purity is just, what are you putting into your soul? What's going through the eye gate? What are you absorbing? And listen, we live in a world where it's pretty hard just to, like, you can't just put blinkers on and just, like, not, you can't look at anything. It's around us. But it's having that awareness and always doing a bit of a clear out. We're also in the lead up to Passover, and there's been an interesting kind of thing. As I've chatted to some of you, there's been this desire to spring clean your homes. And I thought I had this desire too. I'd actually said to Sheldon, I want to do like a mass clear out. We've lived in that house for almost 20 years. It's an amazing how much stuff you accumulate. That is complete nonsense. And I had this desire to clean out the house. And as I was chatting to those who shared the same thing, we realized actually that is the lead up to Passover. There was the spring cleaning of the homes, the removing of everything that had leaven in it, leaven being sin, removing, clearing, making space for. And so as I feel God is, yes, we've got to know that stuff has gone wrong in the charismatic world. And we have to look at that. And someone said to me, oof, you've opened a can of worms. And that kind of stuck with me because I was like, where on earth did that saying come from? Because we say it all the time. So that bothered me. And then was like, how am I going to clean up the worms? And so back in the 1950s, they would sell worms in cans for fishermen. And you can't just open and just like take one out. You know, they all fall over the place because they want to get out of the can. So essentially, the can of worms was all over the stage. But actually, it's not about us focusing on the mess. Actually, that's got very little to do with it. We've acknowledged there's mess. Now, how do we go forward? And the next step he's asking us to take is look into my holiness. Be holy. Be set apart as I am holy. You see, there was a standard for the priests currently in Numbers. Aaron, I'm really glad Jesus died on the cross because I just don't think I could do the whole shaving all the hair and then I've got to slaughter every day and it's just sounds like a big chamos. But there was a standard to what the priests had to adhere to. And it's been interesting as you read that in the Old Testament and then you put the lens of what I'm looking at now in terms of the mess, how men have, you want the esteem that goes with that kind of pure life, right? Because what comes with that is that in Numbers, in those times, the priests were well looked after. Aaron and his sons were well looked after. They had good food, they had the right clothes, but what he had to perform, he had to perform those things. And I think as we look at the charismatic world, you've seen these men want all that, but yet don't live to the standard to which God has required. Yes, we thank Jesus for the cross and that he did fulfill all of that, but there's still a standard for shepherds. There's still a standard, and I think that's what I wanted to get across on that Sunday was the standard. Where is our standard? Where is our plumb line falling? So you've got your plumb line and your measuring line, okay? And are we building correctly? And what I've noticed in the charismatic world, the plumb line is doing this. And there's this call from God to come back. Plumb line, come back. And there are signs out there in the world of this very thing happening. Because I'm the world's biggest watcher, watching what the trends are and what's going on. So the Oscars. Hands up. I will put my hands up. I used to watch the Oscars because I loved the red carpet. I loved the fashion. I loved seeing the celebrities and all of that. But I would say that since 2020, the kind of facade that we all knew was there, but we still liked to partake in it, started to fall. And interestingly, in the year 2000, the Oscars ratings for that year were 46.33 million people. In 2020, they got down to 23.6, because I think a lot of people were like, I'm locked in my house. You're dressing up and doing an award show. That's interesting. Okay. 2025, 19.7 million. And do you know that they're touting that as a record high? Because 2021 was 10.4 and 2022 was 16.6. That's their high. The Grammys in the year 2000 was 27.79 million, 2025, 15 million. I don't know if you've heard of a man called Russell Brand. Yes. Russell Brand, and actually is someone I've followed for quite a few years because he's got a wicked sense of humor. Phenomenal sense of humor, hey? Like he's spot on. Like it's that British dry humor. But man, this guy has lived a life. okay? And addiction has been a massive part of his life. Anyway, he started a podcast kind of around 2020, and I was listening to clips, and I liked what he was saying because he was saying the common sense stuff about coronavirus and what was going on in politics. And then he started talking about Jesus. And I was like, you're talking about my Jesus, or like what other Jesus? Because he is very spiritual, you know. He's gone out and tried pretty much everything. Yeah. And I was like, oh, so now you're trying out Jesus to see if let's see how long this lasts. This man had an encounter. He is on fire. He was then baptized a year ago in April by Bear Grylls. Bear Grylls baptized him in the River Thames. And I've watched this man begin to profess Jesus Christ. And what was amazing is I watched a clip where he was talking to a prostitute. It's a modern day prostitute. It wasn't a lady on the side of the road. It is something called OnlyFans, which is a porn site. And these girls have their own channel and men subscribe, and they make exorbitant amounts of money. And this girl he had on his podcast. And these were his words to her. Do you know how much you are loved? Do you know that you were knit together in your mother's womb? Do you know the value that you have? And I was sitting there going, this is amazing. And this is being broadcast out. Everyone's watching. This wasn't happening in some back room. Did she respond? I don't know, but he planted a seed. He planted a seed. Okay, so celebrities are starting to turn. That's interesting. Okay. Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan is a phenomenal podcast. So he is probably in the top, I think he's the top three at the moment. He even could be number one. Now that, I remember him from Fear Factor days, okay? Like ETV, Fear Factor, there's Joe Rogan. You know, and people had to eat eyeballs and all sorts of random stuff. And his journey goes, and, you know, he's been in the fighting world as well, and he started this podcast, and he's amazing at it. He's gifted at what he does. He has an ability to have just about anyone on and have a conversation with them, like a normal conversation. And he had a guy on in December called Wes Huff. Wes Huff is an apologist? Do you say an apologist? Yeah, apologist for apologetics. Apologetics Canada, if you want to look it up. This man is 33 years old. His understanding of the Bible, its origins, the scientific proof is unmatched. And he did a podcast with an atheist, a well-known atheist. And it's interesting listening to atheists because you're like, man, you have the ability to believe all that, but you can't believe in God. That blows my doors off every time. But that podcast went quite viral because of how Wes was with him. He was very combative, but Wes just did it in the most beautiful, loving way, presenting the facts of the Bible, presenting the scientific research. And it was on that Joe Rogan was like, oh, this is an interesting guy. Let me have him on. Joe Rogan's podcast reaches millions. And there he sat with Joe Rogan for 3 hours. I've listened to the whole thing. And he had Joe Rogan in the beginning of like the origins of the Bible. Joe was there with him. And then Joe went off on a tangent. And that's fine. Wes followed him. And then Wes brought him back to Jesus. What do you think of Jesus? So we have to be aware of what is going on in the world. As I see people rejecting celebrity culture, rejecting celebrity culture in the church, rejecting celebrity culture in the world, I'm done with fake. I'm done with it. And there's this pulling back to truth. There's this pulling back to himself. As we have heard so many times, we're going back to the church in Acts. And the charismatics are like, yeah! But, oh, hang on. Means we've got to get to grips with a few things that have been going on. We need to maybe have a look at what we're believing. And are we with the plumb line? Are we with the measuring stick? Are we practicing our discernment? How do you get discernment? You read the Word of God. You keep reading the Word of God. I heard a brilliant analogy in the week. This guy was a cop, actually, and he said in the police academy, they would train them on driver's licenses and how to spot a fake. And we've heard the story of the bank, right? The bank, you only ever deal with real money, and then the moment you feel something fake, you know it's fake. With driver's licenses, it's the same kind of concept. However, he said they were never shown a fake. They had no idea what a fake driver's license looked like. They were only ever shown the real. And he said it was maybe the second or third time out as a rookie, and they pulled someone over. And he said, the moment I looked at their driver's license, I couldn't tell you what was wrong, but I knew something was wrong. And that's how we have to be in our Christian walk. I look at something and I'm like, I don't know what it is, but something's not right. Let me investigate. The days of just absorbing are over. We have to be so careful in what we're absorbing. And so I, Tracy, have stolen quite blindly from your preach, actually, because I quite enjoyed... Okay. Stop plagiarism. Sisters in the Lord, we share things, don't we? I just loved how you brought out, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added. And I'm sorry, in the charismatic world, I was led to believe, very strongly to believe, that was money. But actually... it's all things. All things shall be added. So I loved what John Bevere says. He says, holiness, it's the essence that unlocks the purpose of your existence and attracts the presence, protection, and provision of your Creator. It's the foundation of all happiness and provides needed adjustment into all inharmonious circumstances that you may face. That is his holiness. So you can see, I can't, now we've got the worms, and I'm going to go, no worries, guys. We're going to jump straight into jurisprudence, which is going to sweep up the worms, and off we go, because I think that's where the church went wrong. Way back, is we come with man's idea of how to fix things, and we're not waiting on the Lord. And when he said to me, speak on holiness, I, like a petulant child, threw a tantrum, and then I was like, I'm just going to ignore it for a week. And then, of course, you have to do lastminute.com, and because you've now procrastinated, and now you're under stress, and my poor son walked into the man cave this morning to get his bike, and nearly had his head taken off, because mom was thinking, I don't know what I'm going to say this morning. But he's got something to say. Come back. And so I'm going to read from Nate Johnson. Oh, hi, Nelly. Enjoy the fun run yesterday? Good. I love that. That's very, very sweet. Oh, before I read from Nate Johnson, so we'll go to Isaiah 35. That is not exactly how it was on. I'm missing a whole lot there. Okay. Don't worry. That's okay. I did type it all out, but that's fine. We're going to go to Isaiah 35. And maybe that's why I don't fully believe in these PowerPoints, because they just don't work with you. They work against you all the time. So we're going to Isaiah 35, and we're going to verse 8. Now, out of the Amplified, it just says, a highway will be there and a roadway, and it will be called the Holy Way. The unclean will not travel on it, but it will be for those who walk on the way, the redeemed, and fools will not wander on it. Okay? That sounds great. I love checking all the translations, though. And I think for me, the Message might put it the best. And the Message, we're going to add a few more verses in. It starts as, there will be a highway called the Holy Road. No one rude or rebellious is permitted on this road. It is for God's people exclusively. It's impossible to get lost on this road. Not even fools can get lost on it. So there's hope, right? No lions on the road, this road, no dangerous wild animals, nothing and no one dangerous or threatening. Only the redeemed will walk on it. The people God has ransomed will come back on this road. They will sing as they make their way home to Zion, unfading halos of joy encircling their heads, welcomed home with gifts of joy and gladness as all sorrows and sighs scurry into the night. And isn't this just the most beautiful picture of if we are being called to holiness, it leads somewhere?
Yeah.
It's taking us somewhere?
Yeah.
Whereas I felt that holiness was almost like a static state of being. Holy, I'm holy, you're holy. But it's not. It's a doing. It's a movement motion. And I'm moving on the holy road. And I'm doing it. And not even fools can get lost on this road. You just got to keep doing holiness. And so when I pulled out this little note from the TPT and I showed Farness, and I think for both of us, we had this like light bulb moment of, jurisprudence, how we fix things and how we prevent things from happening with the lens of holiness, that's powerful. So if I'm saying the word jurisprudence to you and you're like, juris is law, prudence or prudential is wisdom. It's how we do the law with wisdom. And then there's biblical jurisprudence, how we roll that out. That will have to be part three, I don't know. That's going to come at a later stage. I just feel like as Passover's coming, and as we've listened to, when you listen to, even going back to Toni Adams preach, as she spoke about the Holy Spirit being a person, already then there was this call to come. Meet with me, talk with me, get to know me. And how she spoke of the spiritual experience that she had. And many of us sit in this room with those same spiritual experiences. Then we go on to, I know you were in between there, and those were very good preachers. I just didn't look them up. Sorry. I'm so sorry. Shem, I feel like he doesn't always get the not that he'd ever want the glory, but just the acknowledgement, because to get up every Sunday and preach, let me tell you, it's something. But he is putting, I'll just take a moment, the time and the effort he is putting into Revelation. God's got something for us. So thank you, babe. I just didn't look at those ones, but they were great. Really shaped us as a people. But when I looked at Andy's preach, Andy's preach, when he spoke about the Great Commission, for me, he just recalibrated it for me. It was just like, boom, boom, boom. The Great Commission. Got it. Donkey ears. That will be how you will be known. I'm sorry, but I think we need to get you some. If we can get some mechanical ones, that would be awesome. I did bump into Robin and Christine the day after your preach, and Christine had said to Robin, if only you had chameleon eyes as well as donkey ears, that would also be very helpful when shopping. Anyway, so he recalibrated Great Commission for me. And already that just brings you closer to what the Lord wants and how he wants it to play out in these last days. We never will have the full picture. But I know the closer I get into his holiness and understanding that, the more I'm in his presence, the more I am discerning, then I know we can build correctly with our plumb line and with our measuring line. And so I'd like to read, so Nate Johnson, he's an Australian prophetic voice that has been speaking out in kind of the last 5 years. I've enjoyed what he's had to say. As every time I kind of read it, something in my spirit just like, yeah, I sense that too. There's a kind of acknowledgement of that. Oh, you know who I didn't clarify? Sorry, I'm just looking at my notes. Bill Johnson. So, Miranda, I'm going to have to say. Miranda's on a prayer watch with me. And she's like, you mentioned Bill Johnson. She said, I was busy with my baby, but like what? Bill Johnson wasn't on the list, guys, okay? I was just saying that Bill Johnson and Bethel had become a bit of an idol in my life because of how they were doing things, and that's what we hoped and dreamed for, and how the season of idol worship is well and truly over. So if you're thinking there's something wrong with Bill, I think he's fine for now. Anyway, we'll see. So anyway, we go to Nate Johnson, this prophetic voice. Sorry, without the PowerPoint, it's a bit hard. I also just want to say about what I want to leave you with. I was marching up and down this platform 2 weeks ago with the fire in my belly. And I know you're looking at me going, where's that fire now? I think when you think about his holiness, it's so sobering. Because I realize I'm so far off sometimes. And you're like, how are we going to do this? And so how do we do this? Connection. You can't do holiness in isolation. It's impossible. You can be holy in isolation. What, in a room somewhere? Exactly. Achieving what? Holiness comes through community. Because community challenge you to your back teeth. And you've now then got to be holy with each other. And that doesn't mean I ignore it and I'm just going to love you and you've said something so offensive. It's not that. It's been able to talk. Say, hey, Trace, when you said that the other day, I kind of felt this. Am I on the right track? And you speak something out. Okay? What have they done since 2020? Constantly trying to divide us against each other. Pit us against each other. In everything. People were getting divorced over who was vaccinated and who wasn't vaccinated. Can we just like get a bit of a reality check here? When we look back, like, and then we were divided over politics. And then we were like, stop. No more. Holiness brings clarity. And unity, yes. So this is what Nate said a couple of days ago. I hear the Lord say, you are in the middle of a harvest fire. It's a Mount Carmel season where God leads us to confront the Baal in us and the Baal around us. It's both. It's where he leads us to the altar and the fire consumes our lives in a fresh way, burning all leaven out of us and sends demons running that have been tormenting, blocking, and warring against us. It's a moment where the only remedy is the altar and the fresh consecration of marriage to our bridegroom to purify the ointment, readjust our motives, and realign us with the call to the priesthood. But it's also a season where the line is drawn in the sand, because for some, the fire sends them running back down the hill or hiding behind the religious altar that has no fire. It's harvest time where the tares separate from the wheat and we see what's really in us and those around us. And we get to make a choice to choose man or God. It's where we decide to level off or to lean into the fresh baptism of fire that breaks heavy yokes. This morning, I kept seeing an image of a harvest field lit up on fire. In Australia, in the region that I'm from, it's known for sugarcane. And I remember as a kid seeing flakes of burnt cane leaves landing in our backyard when it was harvest time. They burn the fields because snakes like to hide in them, and the fire sends them running. I knew right away what the Lord was showing me. Harvest goes hand in hand with the fire on the altar and the fresh baptism, and this is what many are experiencing right now. It's the tension of both extremes, the harvest and the fire. Harvest is here, my friends. Lean in, choose the altar, give him the leaven. This isn't a once-off thing that we do. This has to be, we have to be mindful of this now. Mindful of who the Holy Spirit is. Mindful of the Great Commission, because harvest time is here. Do you remember the season that we put everything from the prodigals, we had t-shirts, photos, etc.? How long ago was that? 3 years ago? 3 years ago. And I think for some of us, you're like, okay, that was nice, but like not much happened, eh? Like, but actually, it's happening now. We set an order 3 years ago of prodigals returning. And man, I got some family members in my sights. And something's happening. It doesn't look like I thought it would. It doesn't feel like I thought it would, but I can see the hand of God. I can see the hand of God begin to move. And I choose the fire because I don't want it anymore. I think I was chatting, again, my poor husband this week. I'm so sorry, love. I haven't been the best to live with because it has been one of those weeks. And when you feel there's something that the Lord wants you to bring and you're feeling so out of your depth. 2 weeks ago was easy. I knew my oats and soats. Like, I know the facts, I know the figures, I know what's going on, I know what should happen. It's easy to speak like that. But when you're speaking on a subject that is God Himself, I come with a reverential fear of the Lord. I really do. And that's what He's returning us to. The reverential fear of who He is. His bigness. His way, not our way, the holy way, the road that leads us somewhere. And so as the season is, the prodigals are returning. The harvest is here. Amen. That is all I got for you. Does it? I'm not going to add. I'm not going to subtract. I did feel the Holy Spirit wanted me to point out one thing. It's 2 weeks ago. Sorry, band, could I have you up so we can do the song? Keys and guitar, just gentle. Thank you. I spoke to the sheep that had been maimed and hurt. And just the response was like, wow. And if you were prayed for that Sunday, I want to say to you, it doesn't just go in a moment. It's a journey of walking out your healing. And it's the choice that you make now. Because there will be triggers that happen in a community. And the first thing you go is, oh, I know this, I'm out. Meanwhile, you just need healing. So make sure you're being healed. Go to healing rooms. Speak to people. And as for shepherds, there's a lot of broken shepherds too. The same applies. But shepherds, there is a standard. There is a standard that we adhere to. And the song, sorry, can you just switch the PowerPoint off? The song that kept going through my head was the classic Refiner's Fire. And would you stand with me, please? So we're not saying a declaration this morning. We are singing our declaration this morning. Flat, flat, my story's eight.
Firstly, well done, babes, and let's have a better week next week. Yes. I can't wait. Tomorrow is going to be awesome. Who's preaching next week? Oh, it's Family Day next week. We're going to have some fun on Family Day next week. Get ready. But I just want to say something here. This conversation of holiness and purity. You know, I've grown up in the church. It's my whole life. I've just known the church. God's called me to the church. And I saw what my parents fought for in the freedom and the life of the Spirit that we now are living in the evidence of that. And I always wondered what our fight will be. And it's not an age thing, it's the season of the church. So there were 70-year-olds in the 60s fighting for the freedom of the church as well as 20-year-olds. It's not our season, it's the Lord's season over the church. So they say every 500 years there's a reformation. The reformation with Luther was in 15, whatever, something back there, but 2017 was 500 years ago. And now we're just 8 years into that. We are in a new season of reformation that the Lord is doing. So I want to say, highlight to you, the fight for the church in this season is the freedom for the charismatic church when pendulum swing. The freedom now, or the thing we are fighting for, is that what we do with our freedom is from the place of purity and holiness. That's what the Lord is calling us to now. Not that it hasn't been there, but He's doing a work through His church around the world. And those, that's why there's so much exposing. That's why the Lord is bringing all the stuff to light, because He's leading us into the place for His body to walk into the fullness of the times we're living in, because the times are short. And He's preparing us for that great day. It doesn't mean it's going to get easier. No. We are going to be equipped to be able to live in the times that we live in right now with an understanding. Okay, so Kathleen's going to pray over us, and this is for you. You see, we sit here as a body, standing saying, Lord, I want to be holy. I want to serve You. Your holiness is not something you can strive for out of hard work. And I'll use this analogy. My 12-year-old son, now we've been on a journey to try and find him a bicycle for his birthday. And we got to the point, it was frantic in the house. We said, buddy, you just need to trust the Lord in this process now. Okay, we are believing in Him. Why don't you just pray about it? And we trust His response to us was, as a 12-year-old, was, well, I don't read my Bible enough, so I don't think God's going to do something good for me. Now, he's not taught that. That's ingrained in you, that your works produce something. You see, we grow up with that thinking. Now, you're thinking, what must I do more? It's surrender more. Just be honest with the Lord, saying, God, He sees the deepest parts of your heart. If you're trying to hide from Him, you're conning yourself, not Him. And He's calling us to lay down all these things that inhibit us to walk with Him, whatever it might be. I'm not going to say one thing what those are. You know what they are in your life. And as we sing the song and Kathleen prays over us, it's the heart to say, God, I surrender to You. I come before Your cross where You paid it all for me. And I want to live now on that path. The path is narrow, as it says in Matthew. It's a narrow path. Amen. Amen.
Just lift your hands. We surrender, Father God. We surrender to You. We choose the fire on the altar. We choose the uncomfortable spaces that this sometimes leads us into, knowing that we're on Your holy way, that we're going somewhere, the ultimate place where we are restored with You, ruling and reigning. But Lord, right now, we surrender all. Lord, I ask that You would give a revelation of holiness to each heart. A revelation of what You are doing in this time. You know, I had this tendency in me on this journey where even being called a charismatic was offensive. I hated the word. I began to hate these men because it was just, what are You doing? This is so destructive. But as you go on the journey with the Lord, you realize that men are men, flesh in every single way. But the Lord remains unchanging. And He will work despite the person. His glory will flow despite the person. But now, Lord, we recognize that that season is over. And we have entered a season of profound grace, where it's not a grace that covers up things. It's a grace that leads us to You. It leads us to Your very heart, to Your very presence. And that births in us this desire to eat the right fruit, to produce the right fruit in the season. So Lord, refine us, refine us, refine us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.